where there are people on a cruise. Obviously, most people would be up there on the upper deck viewing the sunset. Very nice weather, obviously. And they're looking out, probably watching if there are some dolphins showing up, or kind of just one of those beautiful times that they could spend up there on the upper deck of the boats. When suddenly, someone heard a bit of a, maybe not a bit, but a shriek and a shout later on. And when they look at the other side, they saw a lady on the sea, on the water. We don't know what happened, but she is in the water. And everybody was really shouting, help, help. And obviously they're calling on from the staff or anybody who could help from the ship. And then suddenly they saw one man on the water as well, trying to help the lady. Obviously they all get up to the ship. Everybody congratulated the man. And the captain was about to give him a bit of a recognition and an award. And he said, before we do this, let's ask the man to say something. And the man said, yeah, I only have one question. Who pushed me to the water? That's only I'd like to know, because who's that person is responsible for me on the water? Obviously, that doesn't happen. It did not happen, probably. But I think I would say, and I'd like to guess, that just after the new year, I think some of us, even before the new year, last year, we felt somebody pushed us into the water, and we don't know what happened over there. There are times that we feel like we are on the storms, we're in the water, and we don't know exactly why that happened. A letter from the landlady or landlord, a doctor's diagnosis, a letter from the hospital, a kind of prognosis that you think, oh, I don't like that. Somebody always somewhere is pushed into the water. Somebody somewhere, sometimes, and most likely last year, experienced some kind of storm that they didn't know how to weather. Even Jesus, in the passage that we just heard read by John, he was with his disciples, but even them were not saved from the storms. They were in the eye of the storm at the time. And probably people here in Wooding Dean, the same as others in Brighton and the surrounding areas, have the same question. Lord, we are having a storm right now. Don't you care? We almost can't breathe now. It's all up here. We don't know what to do now. What are you doing? I've lost my husband. I'm totally lost at the moment. I remember all the good things we had. And yet, Lord, the deluge of the emotion, the negative emotion, we have it. I have it from time to time. Lord, this is a storm. What are you doing with me? Where are you? The passage says he was sleeping on the stern. And you would sometimes say, Lord, you really didn't care. You're sleeping. You don't do what you should be doing. And I'm here trying to battle it out. Where are you? Then we start accusing God and telling him that he should be doing this. As I've been thinking to myself, Lord, is it not enough that I had my own share of pain and difficulties when I was growing up, that my son on the week of my ordination will also be diagnosed with autism, nonverbal autism, of all the kinds of autism. And for the next 3 years, in my heart, I am a rebel against God. I hated what he did. I'm still in the church, training to become a minister, but I really don't like what he did. I really didn't like it. Where are you, Lord? I'm in the middle of the storm. No one's telling me what to do. There are no guidelines what to do. And even those people, the disciples who lived with him for at least the last 2 years, were wondering what Jesus was doing, why he was sleeping on the stern. There is a storm. Well, Jesus was sleeping on the stern, not because he doesn't care, but because he is confident. He was confident that you'll be okay. I am here. I own the world. I only have to say one word, and this whole thing will be gone. He was sleeping. And do you think he really was sleeping? I don't think he is. He was, I don't think. There's so much water splashing all over him. I'm sure he's going to be awake that time, but he just, you know, closing his eyes, pretending not to care. In Wooding Dean, in the surrounding areas, not only you, but there are a lot of people that are walking down the road thinking, Lord, or God, if there's a God, where are you? I'm having trouble. I don't know what to do. It's so embarrassing to go to my friend and tell him or tell her that I have these mental health needs that I'm too embarrassed to tell. I don't know what to do, Lord. Or if you are there, Lord, really show yourself to me. There are people walking around here pretending to be okay, maybe wearing better clothes than I'm wearing right now, but inside they have greater storms that you cannot imagine. And they're walking down the road helplessly trying to find the way, a solution to it. Jesus was sleeping on the stern, not because he doesn't care, but because he's confident. Why was he confident? He's confident because it's the God who declared in Psalms 46 that everyone should remember that he is our refuge and strength. The scripture said in that passage, Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he brought on the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spears, and he burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That song, if you ask Jesus at the time, he would say, have you not remembered Psalms 46? That's why I'm sleeping. That's why I'm sleeping. Finally, we people, though we are distant, far off from the times of the disciples, we still behave the same. We throw questions to God as if he can't answer them. And most of those questions are the why questions. Why, Lord, why are you quiet? Why are you sleeping? I looked about the stories in the news, especially right now. There are so many reasons for you to worry. USA took over Venezuela. Russia is trying to do with Ukraine. Everything's happening in Gaza. Everything's happening in Israel. And some people in Oxford that I spoke to always tells me that if there's one reason that most young people are so pessimistic, because they cannot find any good news at all. But there's one thing I will tell you. The same position that they had back in the Old Testament at the time of the sons of Korah when they were writing that passage in Psalms 46 is the same time of those disciples when they were having the storm. It's the same time that we have, because we have the same God. As you said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No changes at all. John, 40 years ago, you had a triple bypass. No one can say that, only you, that you had it 40 years ago. I'm sure there were times that you worried at that time. Even now, I'm sure you're still worried. Who among us will not worry if we have that experience? But there's one thing, one truth that we'll find in this world, and on another, that the God that we believe is the God that is an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Brian is nodding because he had it last time. Not the triple bypass. You're the best.
The thing is, the same God who holds us in our in His hands are the same God who holds those people in His hands back then. As I walk around yesterday here, I'm trying to navigate my way using Google Maps. I find that the place is a bit difficult to find in the evening. Yes? All I have to remember is that where did Gareth bring me around or brought me around last time he took me there, or check again my Google Map. But the same experience I had, I particularly remember, and that is, this is the same experience most people in this place experience internally. They saw the place, they know it's dark, and they're wondering where they're going to. This is the church of God in this place. We are Downs Baptist Church. This is the place that they should go to and find Jesus. We are not, the church is not the building. We are the people of God and we are the church. And everyone who speaks to us should find Jesus. I happened to sat next to at the bus next to a guy who just arrived from Germany, he said. He was a former teacher in an international school in Frankfurt. And he's now going to be hired as an organist in a church of England somewhere in near Worthing. And he started sharing me things that I thought, no one in his right mind will say these things if he doesn't feel all right with the person he's sitting next to. Did I tell him that, you know, you can tell me everything? I didn't say that. But I think the moment he realized that I am a Christian, let alone a pastor starting to minister here, he started telling me things that I'm really glad that he did. I know he wanted someone to hear those things. You are already in this place for many years. You got your roots here. I'm trying to put my roots down here. But I can say this, that the God who sleeps on the stern is the one who has been giving us the peace all throughout this year. And we can look forward to this year that we can be great beacons of hope for others. Iris has been struggling, obviously, with all the memories that coming flashing back, isn't it? Just like the sea waves. I mean, it's the seashore. You know, David here, and again, you remember again. All those memories are God's gifts to you, that every time you open your mouth and share them to us, it becomes a gift to us, because our lives is not meant for anything else but becomes memory of God for everyone. Everyone who hears your story will know that David has been loved by God, and we all wanted that. So coming back to the story on the boats, did they die? They didn't, don't they? Jesus stood up and said, "Be quiet, be still." And it looks like nothing happened. Everything became still. And I believe that if we hold on to the God who did that many, many years ago, we would still also experience the peace be still moments that Jesus can give to us. One night we had a call from the out-of-hours doctor. Not night, actually early morning, 1:30 in the morning. For the last 23 years of my life, I've never received any call like that. I said, "Hello, we're sorry to tell you, but this is the only number we could reach. I'm sure this is Mr. Bayona, the husband of Mrs. Bayona." I said, "Yes, this is him." And then he said, "I'd like to speak to your wife, please, because this is really urgent." I thought, what did she do now? I mean, you know what happened? So it happened that she had a blood test a week ago or 3 days ago, and they said, "We find some unusual things happen in her blood test and all that. Is she okay? You can call the ambulance right now if needed." Oh no, she's sleeping. I mean, what's the big deal? And we had this funny feeling something's coming up. And she said, "If you ever feel so bad, just ring 999 and we'll be there to pick you up." So I said, "Are you okay?" "I'm okay. I'm about to sleep actually now." And so I said, "All right. All right, sir, we're going to call you tomorrow. We'll see you at 9 o'clock." And then we finished the call. We sat down. I was shaking because my situation is, if I'm awakened in the middle of my sleep, I'm my body's shaking, probably stress or whatever. So I started shaking. I prayed. She prayed. And we're praying together. And then later we said, "Nah, let's sleep." And we sleep. And then we just went to the hospital the next day, and the doctor said, "It's fine, you'll be okay," and all that. I'm thinking, there you go. We had our own experience of the storm. It's so unnerving to receive those kind of calls. But there you go. As young as this man, as you're standing before you, we had a fair share of those times. But the one thing I can stand and say again and again, the God who said, be still and know that I am God, is the same God that I believed in and you believed in. And I'm pretty sure 2026 is the peaceful year that we could ever have. Why? Because the storms doesn't define our destiny. Jesus is our destiny. Heaven is our destiny. The storms doesn't define our identity. Jesus is our identity. We are Christians. We are God's children. And the storms only reveal God's power. Yes? Because no matter what happens, we are preserved in the love of God. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or sword? Are we going to be terrified with those? The sword? Or nakedness? Or danger? Are those things that we have to think about, really? Paul, who wrote that, said, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the present nor the future, or any powers, nor the heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Who would question that statement? Jesus loves us. And that love will see us through as we sail in this life, whether there's storm or whether it's a smooth sailing kind of journey. He will see us through. Who shall separate us from the love of God? None. None. Nada. Nothing. Nine. Let us pray. Father, thank you that your word says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Lord, those are the words that we're holding with our hands and our hearts and our minds, knowing that this world is not the guarantee of everything that we can live for, but your word is the guarantee that whatever you said, you will fulfill them. And you said that you have plans for us, plans to prosper us, not only for those people in Israel, but Lord, because we are children of Abraham too, we can claim that by your grace that we too are recipient of that blessing. A promise that has a future and hope, that you will bless us. And as we start this year onwards, Lord, we trust that you will not only carry us through, but Lord, you will bless us throughout the year. That will become a blessing to others. That the people we meet, whether we spoke to them on the phone, chat with them in Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever communication we have, Lord, will be able to reach out to them and share to them the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells in our hearts. And then, Lord, lead them over to Jesus. That they will see us here, the church, not only in this building, but even so our surrounding places like this. That, Lord, will become a blessing to them by showing them Christ's love, Christ's peace, and Christ's joy. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.